sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company, license number 47388, and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. And I appreciate, by the way, that you would listen today. It's a beautiful day out here in Oklahoma City, and everybody ought to be nutritionally healthy. I listen to Dan Soloway on my way in because he's who's on the air. And everybody ought to know to take your omega-3s, just what I'm saying. My guest today is Brad Russell. Brad is my State Farm agent. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Becky. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I know your number by heart because State Farm, your office, you took over Ken Witt's practice.
Sure did.
And is it called a practice when you sell?
Agency.
Agency. It's there you go.
Business. Right.
Yeah, I'll probably
get
it wrong again.
Either way, it works.
Yeah, there you go. And you are my State Farm agent. Ken was my agent for I would say over 35 years.
Right. Right. So, I was very privileged to take over from somebody with a history like Ken Witt did. He just took care of his customers, and we have the same philosophy at our agency. And he was kind enough to trust me with his book of business, and I appreciate and always will.
Well, you know, and we're having a little party for Ken.
Yes, he's moving.
Yes, he is. That. I just sold Ken's house.
Oh, that's news. I was going to ask you about that today.
Yeah, sold his house. And he's going to get to retire to sunny Florida, and not because it's sunny Florida. Because his only granddaughter is there.
That's right. And the golf courses are nice.
Well, now that's true. And his daughter, the golfer, does live there. So
He'll have fun.
Yeah, he will. He will. And so today I ask you to come on because of all the rains we've had.
Sure.
And I wanted to talk about flood insurance for one thing.
Right.
And also about what's the difference in an endorsement and a rider or things like that, extra things to add on to your insurance policy. Because some of us have gun collections. Others have lots of furs. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be probably a mistake in Oklahoma because you just get to look at them.
That's true.
Too hot to use them most of the time. But art. I love art.
Oh, yes.
So I want to be sure that I'm covered for the art that I own.
Right. Well, not in regard with flood insurance, but if you have some expensive art, you definitely want to get a personal articles policy because you do get some coverage for fine arts, but it's only about $1,500, $2,500 max unless you get an endorsement, or you can add an endorsement up to $5,000 per.
Now, an endorsement is just – it's not a separate policy,
no,
right?
No, it just adds on to your homeowner's policy as a side.
So it could be $5,000, then you would have about $6,500 worth of art coverage.
Right. Now, a personal articles policy, if you have very expensive art or very expensive jewelry or furs, you would want to cover it to whatever limit you've had it appraised for. So I have customers, for example, that are fine art collectors. Some of them have $30,000, $40,000 paintings in their house. Well, they get those appraised, they bring in the appraisal amount to replace it, and we will do a personal articles policy so to make sure that they can cover the full cost of the investment that they have there.
Right. So that's personal articles like guns, jewelry.
Furs, you can add an endorsement onto your policy, and we will cover up to $5,000. On an endorsement for furs.
Okay. But then a personal articles policy is for like jewelry. Can you do an endorsement for jewelry?
Yes, you can increase the jewelry amount versus what comes standard with the policy. The policies usually come standard with $1,500, and it'll pay up to $2,500 if you have multiple things. But you really want to look at an endorsement on top of that that'll take it up to $5,000 or higher. But most people do jewelry. Becky, to be honest with you, on a personal articles policy, because if you have it appraised and we have that document, we know exactly what the stone is in there and how big it is and how clear it is. I don't know all the terminology when it comes to the stones, but you do need to have that documented on paper, and a personal articles policy will protect that forever.
Right. So what we really came to talk about today is flood insurance. But before we start that, let's invite anybody who has an insurance question to give us a call, 840-1000, 840-1000. I'm going to have to check in my purse. I'm pretty sure I've got some Casa Perico certificates. I do. You guys call in. I'll buy you lunch. How's that? I'll give you an absolutely free lunch at Casa Perico Mexican Grill. So
great place.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's I love there. We eat there about once a week.
Yeah, you're the first person that told me about that place. And since I've been going, my wife and I go quite regularly now.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Yeah. Good deal. So make note, Casa Perico. okay, Brad, if you're needing flood insurance, how do you know if you need flood insurance to begin with?
Well, there's a couple of ways. Usually, a lot of realtors, of course, you know, as a real estate broker, we can all get access to the map. So if you're about to buy a house and you're not sure where that is, make sure that you talk to either the mortgage company may require you to have it. Your realtor will have that information, too. You need to find out what zone you're in. Your insurance agent can find that out, too. And you can, individually. You can get onto the FEMA map site. And you can look at the FEMA map site, and you can actually drill down to your zip code and look to what neighborhood your home that you're looking to purchase is. And it will tell you, based off of a rating system, what your risk is there. So you'd need to know that risk. And the mortgage company, like I say, if it's in a high-risk area, they're going to let you know that you need to have flood insurance.
Well, and everybody, when I list their house, well, I'm not in a flood zone. I'm not in a flood zone. Nope, I'm not in a flood zone. Well, everybody's in a flood zone.
Sure they are.
The whole earth is a flood zone.
Right.
However, most of us are in flood zone X.
Exactly.
And X is a non-flood-prone area.
It is. It's not part of the 1%. It's less than that. It could be it's generally less in a low-risk zone. It's going to be less than 0.2%, 0.1%. But 25% of the claims that we pay in insurance with floods are in that minimal risk X zone. So it just depends on where you are.
Really? I was unaware of that.
No,
so
that's the percentage. Sure is.
What? So a quarter of the one out of every four
of the claims that we service are in the X zone that have minimal risk.
Non-flood prone area.
Exactly right.
Wow.
Yeah. It is. And
can you get good insurance if you're in flood zone X?
Yes, we can give you the same type of insurance. Now, it's not going, and it's very inexpensive too, Becky, to be honest with you. If you're in flood zone X, I have a number of customers that have it. Generally, the deductible is going to be about $1,000, $1,200, but it's only like I've seen it from $400 to $700 a year just for coverage. And that's very inexpensive when you look at, even though it's a chance of less than 1% that you're going to get flooded, but they do occur, as we've seen over the last few months. There were areas in this state that got flooded that hadn't had a flood in over 150, 200 years.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got Bill from Choctaw with an insurance question. And, Bill, good morning.
Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Becky.
Hey, morning. Choctaw, hey, you've got some areas in Choctaw that are flood-prone, don't you?
Right. Well, I'm not in a flood zone. I did call my agent because of all this rain. The ground was so saturated that I had some water in my living room. And I called up my agent and said, no, you're covered. If a pipe busts in the house, you're covered. And I told him, I said, well, let me go find my sledgehammer and I'll give you a call back. my real question is about above ground pools. Now, the city of Warner ordinance in Choctaw says if the wall is 48 inches high, you don't have to have a fence around it. What do insurance companies say?
Well, there's always your liability goes up a little bit when you have a pool of any kind. It could be an in-ground or an above-ground pool. But there's nothing that requires you to have any additional insurance for a pool. We always talk to our customers based on what could happen and the risk that's there. And if your liability on your home, for example, only is $100,000, we talk to them, you may want to up that because you never know.
Well, and he's wanting to know if the fence, does the insurance company require that you have a fence?
Generally, they like to see a fence, but it's not, I don't think.
I don't think they can standard. Make requirements like that.
No. They can suggest it because our job is to protect everyone from risks that could happen in the future. And I had a pool when I lived in Houston. We put a fence around it simply because we had kids in the neighborhood. Because you can't protect, a child from getting in there. And so I would always recommend it, but it's not required. They cannot require you to have a fence.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Bill?
That answers my question. Thank you very much.
Well, hang on, because Mr. Gannon's going to get your information so that I can buy you lunch at Casa Perico's. How's that? So,
bless your heart.
Well, thank you. You're going to love it, too, by the way. Thank you guys for listening to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are going to return right after this break with more with Brad Russell, State Farm Insurance. News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to, Movers Real Estate Company and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. We're here with Brad Russell, State Farm Insurance.
Glad to be here.
And we're talking flood insurance and other types of endorsements.
Sure.
And
any type of insurance.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. But before, you can afford a lot more house now than you used to be able to because...
NMLS number 196-895.
It's our money man, Mr. Dean Riddell. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, Becky. How are you?
Well, I'm doing great. You know something? The interest rates just keep being low, right?
It's kind of fascinating. I was watching some data earlier, then talking about home sales. From May's data is out, and of course, May's was up considerably, predominantly contributed to the rate environment. Think about it, and that's back in May. It's dropped, half a point in rate probably in the last 90 days. So rates are great. Rates is a point that people should take a look to say, maybe now is the time to make that change.
I closed on one of my listings yesterday at Chicago Title, and I met the young couple, and I looked at them. I was working with the seller, and the buyers were with their realtor, and I said, is this your first home? Because they were very young looking, and they said, yes. And I said, wow, this is quite a first home. Usually people would buy like a little two or three bedroom with one or one and a half bathrooms, one car garage maybe for their first home. They were buying a four bedroom, three bathroom, bonus room upstairs, double deep, two car garage as a first home.
Starter home. That's a nice starter home.
And Becky, the rate environment makes people think. And so, I'll ask you, a first time buyer, what's that top, that typical length of time that they stay in that house? 5 to 7 years?
Right. It's getting a little bit longer now than it used to be. Used to, you could count on that first time buyer to be in there about 4 or 5 years. And now it's more like 6 to 8 years.
But now throw a 3.75% interest rate world into it.
They're staying for about 10 years because in 6 or 7 years, chances are that interest rate is going to be 5 or 6% at least.
Right.
And they're not going to want to move because of their payment's going to go up so much.
So when I meet with young buyers that are disciplined, that's a key word, a big word, one that we all should live by. I paint the picture to them that, with rates where they are today, it's almost like you're skipping that typical first-time home buyer house. and jumping in. Maybe what that client did yesterday that you know that you closed with is maybe they skipped that typical $150,000 first time home buyer house and are jumping into that four bed where they may be there 10 to 12 years.
Well,
what
and
you
the
and I would
typical
define as a second house.
Yeah, the first time home buyer house typically has been in that 80 to 125 range, $1,000 range, and now people are able to buy a $200,000 house for the same payment.
Right.
So that's a nice house.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. So, well, if someone wants to make a home loan, they can go online. In fact, I've encouraged people to go online and then call you. So you just go online at Dean Riddell, R-I-D-D-E-L-L, Dean Riddell, homeloans.com, and make your loan application. And then Dean's going to call you, or you can call Dean, and he'll talk to you by phone or just have a sit down in his office if you're somewhere close.
Yeah.
And if you're overstationed in the Ukraine or Afghanistan, he'll arrange to meet you. You know, people listen from everywhere.
Fascinating.
Well, because of iHeartRadio.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They can listen. My kids are deployed and can listen to the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So, good morning, Eric. Good morning, Will. Or I should say good night to them. They're on the other side of the earth. So, anyway, you can listen. Dean will sit down with you.
You made a quick comment about face-to-face or brainstorming, and I think it's a lost art. And so, and it's even like this morning. Every Saturday mornings, I typically meet clients at 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and I'll say, don't fill out anything. Just bring your thoughts, bring your questions. And it's amazing what we can get accomplished in an hour in the morning with no phone ringing and just walking through thoughts and questions.
I do the same thing. I love sitting down with people and talking to them. Some people apologize of an evening. They can't get off work and they don't get home until 5:30 or 6, and they'll say, man, I hate to keep you out late at night.
Right.
And to me, it's extremely relaxing to go to a late. Now, I don't want to go every night of the week.
Right.
But a couple of nights a week, I don't mind going out on an appointment. I love to just sit and hear the folks' needs and then talk to them. So, and we'll discuss and come up with a plan. So,
yep.
Dean Riddell, 858-7770. We appreciate your call in today, Dean.
Thank you.
SWBC Mortgage. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Dean. Okay, Brad, let's talk about flood insurance. We've said we're going to do it. Let's talk about it.
Well, where do you want to start?
Well, we talked about when you know how to find out.
Right.
When you need it.
Right.
It's a flood certification.
It is.
Which you can call a mortgage lender. You call Dean Riddell.
Exactly.
Ask him. It costs like $11 or $12
mm-hmm.
to do an official flood certification on your home.
Right.
Now, if you're somewhere close to a flood zone, but your house really isn't in it, maybe next door's in it.
Right. It's neighborhood by neighborhood, house by house.
And maybe you sit up 10 feet off the ground on a hill,
mm-hmm.
or maybe you're at the same level that house next door is
right.
that is in the flood zone. That line's drawn somewhere.
Yes, it is.
I mean, use your good sense.
Yeah, you have to, because your neighborhood may be in an X zone, moderate or low risk area. There are specific homes in there next to a creek, and they're sitting in a lower area that have a higher tendency to flood. And you need to be looking into all of that.
Right.
Down to the specific home.
Yes. Well, and many times you'll have a lot where maybe the back half of the lot's in a flood zone, but none of the improvements
right.
on the lot are in a flood zone. And you can get exempted
yep.
from flood insurance, the required flood insurance.
Right.
And you're only required to get flood insurance if you have a mortgage on your property.
Right. Right.
I mean, I've sold investment property to people, and they don't get flood insurance. They're going, nah, I know the area. Choctaw's one of them.
Sure.
That has a lot of flood stuff, and you have to know Choctaw.
Oh, yeah.
To know whether or not it's going to be in a flood area.
Right.
And so I've sold to investors over there, and they'll go, Oh, no, that's not going to flood. I don't need flood insurance on that. But they buy cash, so it doesn't matter.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
But if you have a mortgage, you might need flood insurance.
Exactly.
You might be required to have flood insurance.
And you'll hear about that from your mortgage broker or your realtor.
Yes,
as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, and flood insurance, the cost of it, it's different if you're in an A or a B zone, right?
Right, right.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we return. Time flies when you're having fun on a Saturday morning at 50 Penn Place. We'll return right after this with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, where you're going to learn about flood insurance today, because we are going to talk a lot about the specifics now. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you select the right material and handle every aspect of your insurance claim, to be sure that they get that back-end money that comes afterwards if you've got a replacement policy on your insurance. So call Robbins Roofing, 728-3700, 728-3700. Our word of the day today is flood, right?
Yes.
Because I'm here with Brad Russell, State Farm Insurance, and we're talking about flood insurance. What is a flood? Well, it's an overflowing of a large amount of water beyond its normal confines, especially over what is normally dry land. It's the rising of water.
Right.
It right?
could be caused by significant rainfall. It could be caused in some area by snow melt. It could, you know, there's a number of ways, but it has
overflowing of levees breaking, dams
right,
not
right.
holding up. But it is water that typically rises. It's
right.
not rainwater falling in.
Right. Not in the house. No. It's rising water caused by the rainfall.
Okay. Now, a lot of people refer to flood as, my house was flooded because my washer hose broke.
Right. And that's not a flood. That'll be taken care of with your homeowner's policy and not the flood insurance. Because anything confined within basically the studs of the house, if you, for example, your washing machine overflows, like you said, or if you have a pipe burst inside the wall, then that'll be covered by your homeowner's insurance.
You have water pipes freeze and break, and then when it thaws, it floods your house.
Yep.
We don't like to use the word flood, but there's water damage to the house then.
Absolutely.
And so it has to be sucked out sometimes or so much.
Oh, yeah, and most people don't realize that just 1 inch of water on average in a home is $25,000 worth of damage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something about that? Water damage type.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Twice recently, properties that we had listed.
Right.
In fact, this all happened in a month. We had two of our listings that had water incidents.
Right.
One of them had an air conditioner overflow, didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm not sure if that was an overflow, because that was an awful lot of water. But anyway, there's something in the attic that caused water to come down the wall, ceiling caved in, had brand new wood floors
right.
in there. So, of course, and it was all inside walls coming down from the attic.
Right.
They called us, and we called Exceptional Carpet Cleaning.
Right.
Because they are a fire and water restoration company, and we know that Tim Fain is going to do it right.
Okay.
He appears on the scene, gets the holes drilled, gets the baseboards off, the holes drilled at the bottom of the walls
mm-hmm.
so that the walls can get dried out inside.
Sure.
So there's no mold growing in there.
Right, they're doing preventative maintenance, basically before they actually file a claim or sue.
Right.
Yeah.
Another person had just redone everything in the house. Every wall was painted. Everything had new floors. New faucets, new toilets, and then whoever put one of those faucets on didn't tighten it down real good somehow, and it started spewing, and nobody was there for a couple of days.
Oh, gosh.
And it ruined, like, the head knocker cabinet above the toilet, the vanity, and, of course, all the floors.
Right.
And this had some laminate and wood floors.
Right.
And carpet. It was a mess.
I'm sure. And quite a loss, too.
But this wasn't flood. This was water damage.
Right.
Same thing happened. We call Tim Fain at Exceptional Carpet Cleaning. Mm-hmm. In fact, this referral came from Tim.
Right.
He said, hey, this is from my church. Okay. Mm-hmm. So both times the insurance company canceled Tim and sent out ServPro, which is a national franchised company
right.
of water restoration. Now, does the insurance get to make that call? Or is it the consumer that gets to make the call? So long as they're a certified water restoration company, I feel like the insurance companies in both these cases, by the way, neither was State Farm, but the insurance companies bullied their policyholder into using a company they wanted to use.
Well, Becky, I can tell you this. That's not common practice, just like you thought. We are just like any other professional organization that services the customers. We cannot specifically state and use one person. If a customer comes in with a claim, of course we've got people like you do in real estate that we trust, that we know what do it right, but we always give the customer options because it's their choice. It's not the insurance company.
Well, you know, the insurance company said came in, they were not pleased that Tim didn't take up the floor first. And Tim said the floor was damaged beyond repair. There is no way we were going to be able to reuse that floor.
Right. Right.
So I took the baseboards off and started getting holes in the first, suck the water out.
Sure.
Then you take the baseboards up and you drill these holes in the drywall so that the water, and then you put these big air handlers in,
sure,
these air movers that will dry out the insides of the walls so you don't have mold growing.
Right.
So he was doing the right order,
sure,
of things. So write this number down and know you can use it. Is, well, just write down Exceptional Carpet Cleaning because, and Tim Fain, because I'll tell you, he's better than any national group I know of. And I'm going to give you his number. It is 405, of course, but it is 326-5487. You should have that by your telephone in your home. Wherever your telephone charger is or your home landline, just write that number down. It's 326-5487. Call Tim to do your water restoration, fire restoration, or just to clean stuff. He is terrific.
Well, that's great to know.
Never a better cleaner of carpet and flooring than Exceptional Carpet. So our word of the day was overflowing of water. But now, so there's quite a difference in inside water bursting,
right,
and the outside water. Your homeowners does cover the inside water, right?
When it comes, absolutely.
If it originates from inside the house from a water source.
Or in the walls, you know, which,
right,
is inside the house. Right. Yes, they will definitely cover that. Now, there are exceptions. If an adjuster goes out and sees stains on the walls that were years old, they'll still pay the claim, but it may be, you know, it may not be as much as you think because they're going to consider that as neglect. Because anytime you see some water damage on your sheetrock or something, you need to get somebody called out. Doesn't mean you have to file a claim. You just need to have somebody look at it because you may have a minor leak. Well, if that minor leak is not addressed, some insurance companies will say, we're not going to pay for it because it was neglected by you yourself instead of catching it early.
So, I mean, the general practice should be photograph and,
absolutely,
make notes,
absolutely,
of the damage and then take immediate action to prevent further damage.
Right. Actually, I have a lot of customers of mine, Becky, that will call me if they see a situation like that in their house, and I'll come out there and take a look at it. And if we need to, we'll send out an independent adjuster before we ever even approach the company to file a claim to make sure what the damage is. Because if it's something minor, we want to make sure that they don't file a claim if they, you know, if it's less than their deductible, for example.
So right.
I'll go look at the homes and tell them, and we can suggest people that come out. We have good appraisers that go out and look and adjusters that go out and look and make a let the customer make a decision on that. But, yeah, neglect is one of the worst. If you have a pipe break that is just burst because it froze, no questions asked, you're going to get total replacement and everything's going to be taken care of by your
If you have that three winters in a row.
Yeah.
That's neglect because you need to do something to insulate that pipe.
That's right. That's right. And water and theft are two key things that the majority of customers, not with State Farm or over anybody else, with all insurance companies, water claims and theft claims will get you canceled faster than anything. It's okay to have water claims if it's the right one. You know, if you're taking care of your property, you're not neglecting it, and you're servicing, like air conditioning units, for example, have them checked once a year just to make sure everything is tuned up, because you never know when they're going to.
Do you know, I've got a handyman that will literally come and do a lot of checking for you, say, if you don't feel like you should climb into the attic to see if your float valve on your overflow pan is still working.
Right.
Or to check to see if that vent, that whirly bird vent or off ridge vent is still working.
Sure, and there's a lot of leaks that occur through those vents, you know, because the sealants sometimes get old and they need to just be resealed just to help protect.
I thought I'd mention one more thing, too, is that we, a lot of people are getting new roofs right now. This is a real safety issue because once they unload those shingles on your house, sometimes the vent pipes from hot water tanks and heaters will collapse within themselves. They're kind of like telescoping things, and they'll collapse within themselves, and they no longer vent through your roof because they become disconnected. So any time you have a roof put on, any shingles, any kind of a thud on your roof, you need to get those checked.
Sure.
Because
a lot of weight.
Otherwise, your heirs will have to get those checked after you die
from
carbon monoxide poisoning. This would not be a good scenario. We are here with Brad Russell. We're going to return with more on flood insurance and all things about homeowners insurance when we return right after this break. Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate and leader of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team. If you guys want your home sold, or if you need someone to help you find exactly your right home, let me encourage you to go to BeckyIvins.com and look at Becky's favorites, or just hit the contact button and just give us a call. I mean, pick up your phone. It is 722-3232. Brad, you want to take a phone call? Let's take another phone call. Good morning, David.
Hey, good morning, Miss Ivins.
Hey, David.
Question. Hey, good morning, sir. I just want to ask you this question. Let me hang up, and I want to hear your answer. A bridge loan or a bridge note? My wife has some friends, and they sold their homes, but I guess what they did was they went and got a loan to purchase the new house. And then I guess within 6 months of that loan, if the house didn't sell, then that's when the loan, they made the payments. But I guess when the house sold, then they immediately paid off, you know, the note or the loan. Tell me what you think about those, good and bad, and I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Bridge loans are exactly like you described, by the way. It's when you want to buy a house before you sell your existing home. And you can get a loan from the bank if you have adequate equity in your home. And you can get a loan for your down payment. And so let's just say you're buying a $200,000 home. and you're selling a $150,000 home. You only owe $50,000 on this house, so you've got $100,000 in equity. The bank's likely to loan you something like $75,000 to put down on your new house.
Sure.
You got good credit. So you buy your new house, and then typically you don't make payments on that bridge loan. It's to bridge you from one property to the next is why it's called a bridge. And when you do that, as soon as your old home sells, you pay off that bridge loan. And so you're paying interest, but you're not paying with today's interest. It's surely not very much interest that you're paying. And it's a lot more convenient
sure.
for you to be able to move and then sell your existing home.
Right.
That happens a lot for people that maybe there's a family member that is bedridden or sick or lots of kids, and it's just too hard mm-hmm. to disappear out of one house and appear in the other house in a matter of an hour.
Sure.
That's a daunting task, isn't it, Brad?
Oh, you bet.
So bridge loans, I think bridge loans work well, but people can get overextended with a bridge loan. If your bank's not careful and they loan you too much money and then your realtor hasn't told you the truth about what your existing home is going to sell for, mm-hmm. If they loan you too much money and then you can't sell your house because you can't pay off your loan.
Right.
That's a problem.
Right.
So, but most of the time a bridge loan works real well. Cost you money, cost interest. Mm-hmm. So it's whether you want to spend the money to pay the interest on the bridge loan, or you want the, and that's for the convenience of getting to move before you sell.
Sure.
And, you know, lots of times, say if you homeschool kids, if you've got lots of pets in your house, you want to get all those out of the house and then get your house ready to sell. That's when that is most appropriate, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and don't hesitate to call your insurance agent. We do that all the time for them. If they're, you know, selling their current home, they're looking to purchase another home, they may have it on contract. If it sells by a certain date, we can give you exactly what the insurance cost would be to cover the new home.
There you go.
So, yeah. And it doesn't cost you anything.
Always talk to your insurance guy. Brad, when someone's moving from one house to the next.
Yes.
We had someone borrow our moving truck mm-hmm. recently, and they got a special policy to cover them between houses.
Yeah, we can do that. We can write an endorsement or just a separate policy in general that covers your products. It's an in the marine policy, basically. If you've got valuable equipment or furniture or whatever, and you're transporting it in mm-hmm. a truck or in a boat or wherever, then we can write you a small policy like that that's just going to protect you until you get that moved into your permanent house.
See, I thought your regular homeowners would cover you during the move.
Yes, it usually does. It will. Now, it will cover you in storage, too. If you have to put it in storage, your regular homeowners covers that. It'll cover it when it's moved, but some people want to make sure that they're overprotected or they have the top protection, and they will write a small in the marine policy, which will cover everything in transit, basically.
Okay. And that originally was like for when people move overseas or something like that, and they put their stuff in crates and ship it overseas.
Right. But you can still do it, you know, if you would like to.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
What else do we need to know about flood insurance?
Well, just make sure that if you do get flood insurance, that you know exactly what flood insurance covers. It'll cover the structure and the contents inside, but there's some restrictions that go on that. Now, the structure is basically the foundation, the electrical plumbing, central air conditioning, heating, water heaters, refrigerators, basically everything that you got there.
Inside the confines of your home. And that's what flood insurance will cover. What's the deductible on flood insurance?
It's usually about a half of a percent of the dwelling. I've seen them, you know, at $1,200 for a $250,000 home.
Yeah.
Dwelling, so.
Well, and sometimes you can get a flat rate deductible, right?
Yeah, you can.
Well, we appreciate that you
came,
Brad Russell.
It's always a pleasure.
State Farm, 947-2812. go to BeckyIvins.com and check it out. And we'll see you next week right here on News Radio 1000 KTOK.